Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Bus Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering The Crown, Season 6, Episode 7, Alma Mater, and Season 6, Episode 8, give me a second, Ritz.
That would be R-I-T-Z.
Not the cracker.
Well, although we're going to be talking about crack.
So,
disclaimer. We have the usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be, I guess, spoilers, maybe, sort of, for
depending
the rest of the crowd.
Depending on what you constitute as a spoiler.
And we are having something to drink that I don't think we ever expected to associate with the show The Crown. Or Bibble, wait, what?
Don't.
No, we're not. But is called a crack baby cocktail.
I was comparing him to a crack baby.
That's, yeah, okay, plausible. But in any case, the crack baby cocktail, I was Googling things that were associated with Prince William and Princess Kate because their relationship is introduced in this episode. And Princess Kate's favorite cocktail supposedly is something called a crack baby. And I gather it was served at their wedding reception. It's actually really good.
It is really good.
So it's got passion fruit, syrup, strawberries. I mean, you can do this a number of different ways, whether it's fresh or not. But I use passion fruit syrup, strawberry syrup, Chambord vodka, and champagne. And it's really good. I mean, I'm with you, Kate. This is awesome.
It's tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also want to say, just from my perspective, there's been a lot of weird drama about Princess Kate right now.
With the Photoshop thing.
With the Photoshop thing. She had surgery, so she's recovering from surgery. We hope that she is doing really, really well.
Yes. We hope nothing but the best for them and
exactly,
her family.
And we don't think that anything other
we're
than
we're not going to speculate on the state of anyone's relationships. We're
I
just,
don't think this has anything to any to do with any of that crap.
Regardless,
so,
we just hope that her and her family are doing well mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that. So.
And you'll probably gather, and this is a spoiler, that we love this relationship.
We
so
do.
There we go.
Regardless of like what it is actually like in real life, which we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We go with what we're shown, and what we're shown is pretty damn good.
Right.
So.
Very pleased. Yeah. All right. So let's get started with Alma Mater.
All right. So we go to a flashback in 1996, which is a special year for you.
My wedding was that year.
Don't you feel old?
I just go fuck yourself. Is that appropriate?
Sorry. We see young Kate dress shopping with her mom. They see they're shopping. Her mom's being like a little coy, being like, "Oh, you want to show off your figure, all that stuff." Things moms do. And
I've never quite never.
Yes, you have. Absolutely.
Totally.
And then they go outside. It's around Christmas time, and they see Princess Diana and Harry and young Harry and William. They're raising money for drug awareness. And so Kate's mom is just like, "Hey, no, give them some money." And she gives her some money, and Kate goes up to them. Diana thanks her for the money. She introduces herself as Catherine and or as Kate.
Yeah, her mom says Catherine.
And she says Kate. And then William and her make eye contact, and clearly they find each other attractive, but it's nothing like major because they don't know each other.
Well, right. And she's very young. So
and she's
point.
Young. So they're both young at that
yeah,
point.
But,
they're
yeah,
around the
I
same
think
age.
I think they're very close to the same age.
And that goes away. And then back at her house, the Kate's house, Kate starts cutting pictures of William out of magazines.
To build a shrine.
And honestly, like, who hasn't? But
it's Pinterest or
Pinterest.
You know, something now.
It's Pinterest, it's memes, it's whatever you want it to be now.
But in the day.
But you had to use your own devices where it kind of looked like you were making a ransom note, but it was a shrine.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it, I mean, like, right. Who didn't have like those posters up on their wall of like the boy bands they like hot dudes?
We've already seen that William had that one.
Absolutely.
Philip K.
So
King.
Don't judge.
I'm not judging.
I'm telling them not to judge.
Right.
Her.
I also am. Well, look at
if this is even true, it doesn't matter. But
Very cute.
it's totally fine. And
It is cute.
honestly, like if you do like the royal family and a member of the royal family that much, go ahead. It's
Their
not like
image is
people
available.
absolutely readily available.
Yep.
And so her mom comes up to her bedroom and she talks about how Kate could get him. And because they're close to the same age, and Kate's a catch in her mom's eyes and in everyone's eyes, really, but we'll get there. Her mom talks about her success with her husband and
It's
her.
really awkward the
It's
way this
the
conversation
way that
is.
she does it, because
She's weird.
she I don't want to say that about Kate's mom, but the way that she's presented is weird.
Yes,
She
that's more accurate.
says stuff like, "Your father was a lowly steward before we got together.
No,
I
she
built
was a
my empire."
stewardess. She was a
Oh, she
stewardess,
was a
is what.
stewardess, sorry.
Yeah.
She and he was like pretty low rung, like
But
wealth
royal.
kind of thing.
But no, he was in the royal circles. He had the money and the
Maybe
title.
you should say this part, because
Right.
clearly I wasn't paying
Right.
attention.
So what she's saying is, oh, I was just a stewardess, and he seemed out of my league and blah 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 because he had a title. And then, after they get married, she started a business, and it's a party business. It's a catering or something kind of business. And after just a couple of years, she was making so much and doing so well with her own business that her husband could quit the work that he was doing and came to work with her, and they've made
A
an
great
absurd
life
amount
for
of money. Yeah,
themselves.
and they have.
And
So.
she basically says, yeah, no, it got to the point where maybe he wasn't good enough for me or something. I don't like the way she phrased that, but I think that what she's trying to get across is there is no, she says, no, there's nothing in this world that Kate is not good enough for. And I think that's
That's
a
a good
nice
point.
sentiment. I think that it's
It
sorry, random creepy clown like music in the
ice cream
background,
truck.
ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck.
It freaked me out for a second. So I like the sentiment. I wish that it didn't sound like she was putting down her husband so much
Yeah, it does
and
sound
being like,
really odd.
your father did nothing. It's just like, no, he went and worked with you and that helped grow your business. Anyway, 3 years later, William and Harry are at a party and having fun, getting drunk and doing what college kids or high school kids do. Not what I did, but
Oh, because they left the house.
no, they actually didn't. I think this is happening at like High Grove or some shit, or
Or an
some
Asian.
hunting lodge somewhere.
So William
So
is
let's not go that far.
Harry is like helping with this because he's like helping to like th they're doing a beer bong or something,
Yeah, no,
right?
Harry's holding the keg for William. It's funny. They're both grown up at this point, like they were previously in the
It's what they are considering present day for this, which would
after
be.
from Will's mania to now, that they're the same actors and they
Yes.
will be going forward.
Right.
They are hung over the next day and have to do a press conference for William's 18th birthday. And Harry's like, I'll be there to help you, bro. And he just makes some snide comments from the
He's
background.
actually really
He's
funny.
funny.
He's
He's
super
super.
funny.
I like this actor. He Both of the actors are
Yeah,
awesome.
they
Like,
are doing great. And Kate's mom is watching this press conference, and they have very good rapport. They're both good with the press.
yes.
And while this is going on, they just show like Kate is a
Well,
jogger.
okay. What William is saying during this press conference is he talks about how he doesn't want the press to intrude on his private life just because he's 18. And like the press are just kind of like, well, are you okay with the press intruding on your private life now that you're 18? He's like, no,
No.
I'm not. Please leave me alone.
Yeah.
I will do what is necessary, like these conferences and stuff when I have to, but please don't intrude on my private life, please. He is asked about his choice of university, and he's like, well, I'm thinking about a university of Edinburgh or something like that, but I'm also considering other schools.
Right, and he's got to sit exams for that.
Yes, he has to sit exams first. And Harry makes a snide comment about him being good at everything or something.
Yeah, it's really, I can't remember the phrasing. It was
I
very
forget the
funny.
phrasing too. He's like, he's some swat or something. And also, like, what are you going to miss most about Eton? And Harry's like, me. It's what little brothers and little sisters do. They
Me.
annoy
Yeah,
people.
exactly. And the whole time, they're both just
They're
really,
so
because they are
cute.
so, they have
They're
been in this
charismatic.
position, but they've also been in this position before and they know how to play it.
And so he William also talks about how, like, one of the press people or just kind of like, hey, what about the, you're gonna like go off and have fun at this university, including girls. And William just says, I'm not gonna really worry about girls right
Yeah,
now.
I've got
And
a
then we
lot.
see
I've got a
Kate
lot going on.
jogging, like the back of Kate, the new Kate, the older Kate. William then takes his exam for Eton with a personalized pen.
He takes exams at Eton for college. It's like taking the SAT.
He gets his results with the family and he passed all of them.
They're very surprised you got an A in
In
something.
geography. Ooh, and Elizabeth's like, aren't you clever? And I'm just like, yeah.
Part of what's funny about this is, and it comes up later, Margaret is, the Queen Mother can't hear anything, and so they're having to repeat, 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 which is like part of my life right now. So I appreciate this, but it also comes up later because there's an episode about Margaret later.
Harry gives William a gift, and for like passing his exams and all that, he hands it to William. He opens it and it's full of condoms, and he's like, just in case.
Hey, who's that in front of the
And then the Queen Mother, like everybody else is kind of like groaning, like, oh, come on, Harry. But then the Queen Mother takes one out and is just like, is this a sweetie? And then they're all just like, no. No. But Harry's like, why don't you try one? You can definitely put it in your mouth, Grandma.
Oh my God, Harry.
It's so funny.
And he's definitely like the enfant terrible. He's just like the
He's
bad
funny.
kid. He's very
And
funny.
then William has another press conference with Charles by his side this time. He says he chooses St. Andrews as his university instead of a university in Edinburgh after a gap year where he's going to be doing expeditions and charity work in South America and Africa.
Right. And part of the reason he chose St. Andrews is it's a little smaller and it's close to Balmoral, which is obviously a place that's like close to his heart. So he's choosing St. Andrews. He's taking a gap year. He's very specific about what he's going to be doing. And there's some charitable things. There's
He's going to
adventures.
Chile and Botswana.
Yeah, he's going to do like some rhino
Yeah,
reserve and
something like
whatever.
that. And Kate's mom listens on the radio and hears that. We then
We don't know exactly what that results
we
in
don't know
when
yet, but we
until
will find
later.
out. And so we see William hanging out with friends during his gap year, doing charity work, helping out with children, playing with them. It's fun, it's
Scrubbing
cute.
toilets.
Doing actual hard work with like manual labor. Like we love to see it. Get your hands dirty. Come on.
Absolutely.
You need to like touch some grass, dude. So good for you. And he touched mud. Good for you. He then after his gap year, he goes to St. Andrews, and I love the way that they did this in like a regular, normal, like just family way of like Charles is taking his kid to college and he's dropping him off, and he's like, well, this is the time that we need to leave, and you guys have fun. By the way, you can ditch your bodyguard and go to parties. And
Well,
then and William's like, oh, really?
and
Nice.
of course, because Charles really didn't, and I
Yeah.
think that
He
he.
didn't have friends.
Right, and part of what I like about this is his acknowledgement that normal people they want him to be normal.
And he wants to be normal too.
Right,
This
exactly.
is why he's going to university in the first place. Well, not it's also expected of him, but either way. Yeah, he talks about how he's still going to have some freedom with even with his guard around. He said the guard can look the other way and all that stuff for like little things like that. And then he says goodbye. He's just like, I bet you really want me out of your hair, so I'm gonna leave. Then William goes about his day. He goes to art history class, and Kate is also in the same class. He is then hounded by girls when he's in his passing period. He is hounded by girls wanting pictures and autographs, and that is my personal hell. If I'm trying to go from one class to another, please leave me alone. Like, if you're my friend, fine, come up to me, but like, oh my God.
Well, I'm sure it's William's personal hell too, and it happens all the freaking time. And we see this a lot, but Kate, and we also see that Kate is taking art history, but she is very good at it.
Oh, she's
So
very smart. And he
like
even got like a B in art history on his exams. And so, I mean, it's not that
But
he's bad at it, but
no,
like.
but yeah, she's very knowledgeable. There are a bunch of people that are just constantly hounding him, but the we see like on a break the their Williams hanging out with some guys that
On the
he's friends
quad.
with. Yeah, on the quad. And they're having a discussion about, oh, how beautiful Kate is and how they all like Kate and blah,
Well, first
blah,
of all, someone comes up to him and has him sign a card for her grandmother, which is,
blah.
I mean, it's pretty, I'm sure it's on par for what William has to do, but like, it's still very weird. And like, one of his friends jokes, like, well, at least you're popular with the grandmas. And so then they see Kate and see her as the prettiest girl in school and like the biggest catch in school, which the actress is gorgeous and she's
Well,
very, very good.
let's face it, Princess Kate's
Oh,
gorgeous.
she is. Oh my God, she is a catch.
For sure. So
Yeah.
part of what we saw, it what he talks about is like, well, I've got our number because we're in the same course.
Yeah, you're automatically given emails and phone numbers in that course, which I mean, you can't really do now.
Yes, but
Well, you
anyway,
have
so
access to like emails, but like school emails, but like not necessarily like phone numbers.
that's your world, not mine.
Sorry.
But so William that night or sometime is talking to Harry on the phone, and
I
it's an
love
echo
this.
of the Charles and
It's
Anne
Charles and
conversation.
Anne.
It's
I
so
love
cute.
it.
I love
But
it
it's
too.
even better because, well, actually,
I
I don't
think their
know. I think they're
relationship
about the
is better.
same.
I mean, because honestly, well, I think part of what it is, yeah, there's similarity there, but
I think
we
I
all
also just
liked
love
Anne
Anne.
better. We all like Anne better, but we like both William and Harry. So this is like I think that's part of what makes it better. So
It certainly helps.
Harry's telling William that he needs to be bad, and go a little mad and just do
Be
something
less
crazy, be
uptight.
less uptight. He's like,
If
like
you want people to act, treat you like you're normal, act more normal.
right.
And so William goes to a party and hooks up with this girl named Lola.
I caught
And
her name. I was just like, girl. And she's not even, I'm sorry, that
okay.
attractive.
I mean, she's attractive. I don't, she's not as attractive as Kate, in my opinion, but that's neither here
I
nor
agree.
there because Kate has was not at that party and did not hook up with him.
Right. So they
So
hook up. They have sex is the suggested
I'm pretty
thing.
sure they just, yeah, they hook up, fully hook up.
Yeah.
The next morning, William and his guard go for a run and he sees Kate and then
And
he,
he's still interested in her,
well,
so.
as he's like passing Kate, like Kate like kind of smiles at him or whatever, just like as a nod of like, oh, I acknowledge that you exist. And she goes by and his guard is like a couple paces behind him, kind of like a Brimsley Queen Charlotte situation. I'm sorry, I'm reading Queen Charlotte right now. And so
All the Bridgerton, all
he
the
like they get a little bit further away from Kate as they like cross paths and he goes, he like talks to his guard and he's just like, did she smile at me? And then he's just like, I wasn't really paying attention. And he's like, you're useless. What are you even
time.
here for? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm looking out for assassins and kidnappers for you. I'm not paying attention to this. And he's like, priorities, dude, priorities. I'm a
Kind of
horny
cute.
college kid.
Exactly. Can you imagine this adult security dude? Whatever. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's really cute that that is part of
I
their.
love the relationship between him and his bodyguard. It's so funny to me. And he comes back later. Bodyguard is one of my favorite characters.
No, he's great.
Then William gets photographed with this girl he hooked up with Lola with, and that was a lot. That was really grammatically incorrect. He gets photographed with Lola and she yells at them and they run off
At the
at the
paparazzi. So
paparazzi.
part of what had happened in that sequence, Kate is working as a waitress in like a pub or a restaurant or something, and William is there, is
Outside the
outside the
window.
window.
She stares through windows too.
Yes,
They have so much
okay,
in common.
exactly. So, he later on we see William staring at a window, and he sees Kate talking to people.
No. They stop in front of the restaurant Kate works at, and her fellow like server friend comes up and tells her that Lola is from a rich family that's titled. And
Yeah, she has like
so
a thousand last names. It's insane.
many. And she's like, yeah, three last names mean more, you're more rich and all that kind of stuff. And then yeah, it just she gives her the lowdown on like what the deal is with Lola and how she, like maybe you have to maybe they're very specific about being a certain pedigree to be able to even date William. But obviously that's not true. They just hooked up at a party once and then they're just like, oh, okay.
So I want to do this next
Well,
sequence
but
about the
really, really
library.
quickly, I would like to say what I said during while we were watching. William stares out of many windows at Kate. The building is made out of them, so this is his dream. Sorry, go ahead.
All right,
The
so
swimming.
oh yeah, they're
I love
going.
the
I skipped the
swimming.
swimming. Yeah, so William is swimming. And you know, he does his first lap or whatever.
Several, I'm sure it was like several.
Yeah, laps. Kate gets in, and she is a better swimmer than he is. In fact, she's kind of smokes him.
She's faster, much she's faster. She's faster,
and he's kind of like, damn. And you know,
they have like an unofficial race.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to imagine this in like a Julia Quinn kind of like. He was breathless.
We've been reading too much Richard.
Absolutely. He's so cute.
But I also saw it in that way, which is unfortunate.
It's not unfortunate.
It does make it cuter, actually.
Super cute.
Also, so the world in terms of Bridgerton, things get a little bit more colorful.
It's more fun. So William looks, he's at the library looking for his art history books because he's got to do a research paper. And the guy behind the counter is hilariously so awful. Funny. He's like the soup guy on Seinfeld. He's just like, no soup for you kind of thing. He's, you know, no for you.
Well, I was thinking he was similar to that guy who's always behind the counter of these shops and Dairy Girls where he's so upset for no reason.
Yeah, and then just yells at people. Yeah, I mean, they're similar to there. Anyway, and Dairy Girls is also awesome. If you haven't seen it, you should.
We'll probably cover it at some point.
At some point in time, we've got a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So the guy says, oh, you know, Kate Middleton got to all these books before you. And he's like, oh, wow. And then his
security guard comes in
like,
clutch.
Right. And he starts pointing and then he sees that Kate is in one of the rooms of the library working on whatever. So he goes to Kate and he's like, hey, you got this book that I need? And she's like, oh yeah, well, I've got it. I've promised it to somebody else, but you can have my notes and my paper. It's not, you know, it might not be good, but you know, the research is there and mm-hmm. borrow that. And he's like, yeah, great. And she's like, oh, well, it's better than whatever happened in Chile. And it turns out that she had been
one week behind him
at
the exhibition of Chile.
And then this girl, Lola, shows up. And she is the biggest bitch in the fucking world.
I think she gets very, very jealous. And I think if I were dating,
oh, I'd be jealous, Prince but William, you don't have to be a bitch talking to him.
That's true. But and he, you saw that he was even talking to this gorgeous girl, you would be like, oh shit, I'm losing him.
And yeah, but the way to keep him is not to piss him off, which is what she does. So what happens is the conversation kind of goes like this. She's like, oh well, you know, you're, what are you stepping out on me?
Before she got there is, oh, you just seem like the person to excel at everything, because they were talking about the expedition and they were talking about how difficult it was, and he was like, I bet you excelled, you seem like the person to excel at everything. And then Lola comes up and it's just like, oh, so what does she excel at?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
Kate's like eavesdropping for one, I suppose.
Kate's like, so what do you excel at other than having amazing hearing?
And then there's
bitchy cutting remarks back and forth, but primarily it's coming from this Lola girl who is like, oh well, you know, so you're just like hitting on any pretty thing that moves, and you know, you told, and William's kind of like, well, you know, she's kind of outdoorsy or whatever, and oh, you told me,
since when were you outdoorsy? It's like, you don't know this man.
Well, but here's the other thing. Number one, you don't know him. Number two, he's a fucking royal. You should know some shit.
He goes hunting.
You should know all this.
But
right?
Also, like, ask him. Like, right. Ask him about his.
What have you been talking about? You haven't been talking about anything because all you're doing is having sex. Anyway, so, but whatever. But she's bitching. But then while this conversation is happening, some girl comes up. William's already very uncomfortable and very unhappy.
Because Lola keeps accusing him of speaking for both her and Kate and being like, oh, yeah, you just keep speaking for us. We can speak for ourselves, blah, 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 blah. It's
really annoying. It's really annoying. And this girl comes up and asks for an autograph. And he's just like, can you just leave us alone? And he is short with her. Absolutely.
He's snaps.
Honestly, I don't think he's an ass.
I said snaps.
He snaps. I'm sorry. I probably would have snapped a lot sooner than this with that shit.
No, I agree. And I think
both Kate and Lola are like awful to him about it. I'm like,
Kate
really?
Is a little less awful than Lola. I think that Kate brings up, well, you didn't have to be rude to that girl. I mean, like, yeah, it was like an awkward situation, but you didn't have to make it worse by snapping at her. And he's like, you don't understand, this happens all the time to me. And Lola's just like, oh, you, or they compare to being a woman to being in the public eye all the time. And she's like, oh, you think that we're not ogled or whatever? And
everyone stares at us all the time. And he's just like, that's not the same thing. Well, I don't even know if he says that, but either way, like, he tries to make a point of, I'm always uncomfortable in the public eye, and this happens all the time. I really just wanted a moment to myself in private.
Yeah.
Surprise. And so they both snap at him about, oh, well, that's what it's like being a woman, being ogled and, like, compared and whatever. And
well,
then,
and constantly being judged. And it's like, okay, number one, let's people do that. But, okay, well, I do want to talk about this because I feel like there's this kind of, you know, they're bitching about mansplaining and whatever. And, you know, honestly, I was around in the 90s and that really was not a thing.
Mansplaining? Yeah.
No one talked about that. That was not a word.
Oh, nobody talked about it. Sure. No, I was about to say it must have been a thing.
But it was not something that, like, you got your panties in a lot about. Yeah, and I'm sorry. I really have an issue with how much umbrage they take at this, number one. Number two, I feel like we do the same thing. Women do the same thing to men. Like, they're constantly looking at, you know, is he in shape? Is he attractive? Is he smart?
Everybody does it to the person, sex or whatever that they prefer.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just like, it kind of happens that way, and it naturally happens.
Because of sexual attraction. Sexual attraction is a thing.
Can people take it too far? Absolutely.
Right.
Can people harass other people? Absolutely.
And how can you compare just going about your life as, I'm sure Kate before William had all kinds of attention.
Oh, sure.
From guys.
She's gorgeous.
I'm probably obnoxious. She probably also, though, again, I was female. I'm not at that level attractive, but, you know, you do get a point where you just, like, you ignore it. There is a low level hum of, this guy's just an asshole, I'm going to ignore you. And so you don't react to every single fucking thing. And William, as a royal and a very attractive one, I'm sure it's the same thing. It's kind of like, he doesn't react to everything, but there comes a point where he's just like, had enough. And
especially in the middle of a conversation that was he was trying to be delicate about. Failing in many ways. It wasn't his fault that it was failing, but.
Right. And I felt like there was a lot of overreaction, that was from both of the women in this conversation. And
I think
the
Lola
idea,
in general, just pushed it out of proportion to begin with.
Well, and
then
Kate,
it just got worse.
Kate was like going on side with her right at the end, which I thought was a little weird, but whatever. But the bottom line for me was, you cannot compare, you know, being an attractive woman to being a royal.
It's different.
It is inherently different. You have no idea what this guy who has lost his mother went through.
Lost his mother to the paparazzi.
Yes, exactly. You cannot possibly understand that.
And it also makes me wonder how much they acknowledge how much he goes through. It, like,
day
clearly,
to day.
Clearly Lola doesn't, even though she noticed him being hounded by paparazzi before.
Mm-hmm.
And if she was even close to, like, I don't know, just, I really don't know. I just think that it's, what am I trying to say? I think it is, they are overlooking a lot of things, and they are underestimating how much it impacts his life, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Because they can't just, he is different from every like other college kid. He can't help that.
It's not that he paints. I'm just pointing that out. He's different from other guys because he's a royal.
I'm not like most guys.
He is not like most guys. He is 100% not like most guys.
Yeah, but moving on. William is talking to his friends about how he's going to spend like his weekend at a Balmoral cottage with his friends. But his college friends want him to stay for a wild weekend where they're going to have like a shaving cream fight, and it's going to be party central and all that stuff. College stuff. William also mentions that him and Lola broke up. Thank God. The boys go hunt, but William decides to go hunting instead. He goes hunting and partying in Balmoral while Kate and the college kids have fun with the shaving cream fight. William calls his college friend, who tells him that Kate is getting a lot of attention from other guys, and he might need to make his move sooner on Kate if he actually wants to be with her, because she's getting a lot of attention and he might miss his chance. And then William goes back to St. Andrews and goes to the grocery store with his guard, which is very funny. Yeah, it's just so awkward. I love the bodyguard.
He has to clear the whole aisle for William to get like a can of soup. It's really funny.
On the way back, he sees Kate through a window. He loves looking through windows. He sees that she's like almost sitting on this guy's lap and like hanging out with him and her friends. And so he's like, okay, well, shit, I lost my chance. And so he then goes to a pub with his friends. He loses at a slot machine with two hearts and a crown, and then he gets three crowns and all that stuff.
But he doesn't even see the three crowns.
He doesn't see the three crowns go up.
No.
Then William runs into Kate and her boyfriend Rupert, I don't know why I said it like that. And he passes them and he acknowledges that she's there. And then he's like, oh no, I want to make this right. He turns back and he yells for Kate and he apologizes to her about how he treated her in the library and how that, not necessarily how he treated her, but how he treated the situation and how he handled it. And he could have handled it better and all that stuff. He doesn't necessarily say he's in the wrong for getting upset, but he apologizes for how he acted, and I think that's valid considering I don't blame him for what happened. And so she accepts his apology and he's like, well, I'll see you in class. And then her and her boyfriend turn away, and it's automatically a lot more awkward between them. And I was like, mission accomplished. Drive a wedge.
And it works.
Hey,
you know what? That is a power move for William. I love that.
He has the power, but not all the power in the relationship, which makes it work better.
Exactly. He thinks she's super attractive, and he feels like he needs to do a power move.
She also knows she's super attractive. And so when she's not getting the attention from him that she wants, she goes and finds another guy. Fair enough. And then once he starts showing a little bit more interest, he also mentions to her that him and Lola are over. And she's like, oh no, that's horrible for you. She mentions like, oh, I hope you and Lola are still together or something. And he's like, no, we're not. Absolutely. God, no.
And I'm sitting there going, yay. Oh my God. Because she is really awful.
Yeah, she was very annoying. Nothing against like the actual person. I don't know her at all, but it's sad. Then William goes to Balmoral for Christmas and talks to his family about how he's kind of lonely there. He may not want to continue in his studies at university at St. Andrews. And Harry's like, yeah, no, to translate for everybody, he lost this girl to another guy and now he's depressed. and William's like, gee, thanks, Harry. He mentions he's considering leaving St. Andrews. Elizabeth then goes to William's room one night and she talks about him about dating, or like, she puts it in a way where it's like, well, we met, then you get married, and then you sort everything out afterwards. That's how we did it back then. And he's just like, we call that dating. And she's like, okay. And then she's like, well, why don't you give it another shot? And he's like, that would be called stalking.
So cute. And the reality is, like, I'm sure it really wouldn't be called stalking, but again,
it depends on how he goes about it.
Right, exactly. It does depend on how you go about it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay,
he's not actively trying to break Kate and Rupert up, which I appreciate, but he's doing little things like subliminally where it's just kind of like, well, now I'm interested. Now I'm broken up with this one girl. I mean, like, I am available. So he's just making that known. And so he's not putting pressure on her to break up with Rupert, which again, I appreciate.
Yeah.
And sure. So Elizabeth says, God won't let a great opportunity pass him by.
Right. Because he's in charge. And it's kind of like, we get back to the religious belief of Elizabeth in some of these episodes too, and I kind of like that. Because again, you know, she's head of the church, is the thing.
Yeah, it happens.
Then
Kate takes Rupert home with her to meet her family. Kate's mom is automatic, and it's fine. He's very charming. He's a good looking guy. He's a good looking guy. And he brings flowers for the mom. He does everything right. Mm-hmm. Her mom is still apprehensive about it because she thinks that she can do Prince William, Prince William levels of better. Yeah. And so she's kind of disappointed that she's doesn't even seem to be setting her cap towards William and kind of like saddling herself with a boyfriend to make sure that's not possible. And so
honestly, the way it's playing is it's making him jealous, which I think is pretty awesome and super smart. But okay.
It depends on how you look at it. I think that either way, she's trying to distance herself from him in a way, but it will make getting together that much sweeter.
Yes.
Well. Regardless of how she was playing it, or if I hope she wasn't playing this random guy for that reason. I don't think she was.
I don't think she was.
I think just in general, like her realizing things later on. We'll talk about it in a second. Back at Balmoral, Margaret starts singing again.
because that's what Margaret does.
Harry has a spat with Charles about him controlling his life when it suits him and being a father when it suits him.
Yeah.
Kate then at her house says goodbye to Rupert and then talks to her mom about if it's serious because her mom's like, hey, is it serious? And she's like, why does everyone keep asking me that? And she's just like, well, is it? Yeah, because people want to know. And her mom's like, well, is it? And she's like, yes, it actually is quite serious, actually.
Is that okay?
And she's just like, yeah, no, totally. It's totally fine. But
I just thought you might hook up with William.
But Kate, it says, well, I acknowledge the fact that you have been trying to put me in this position to, like, get with William. Like, you had me go to St. Andrews after a gap year, even though I wanted to go to Edinburgh with my friends. And I was sent to Chile without my friends during a gap year I didn't want to take.
Yeah.
And then you send me to St. Andrews, and now I'm well aware of you trying to manage my life in a certain way. But what if he's not what I want? What if he isn't, not that he's a bad guy, but like, what if he isn't what I want out of a relationship?
Right. Well, one of the things that the mom says, and you know, not that I would, I hope, ever be this manipulative, because she's extremely manipulative of her daughter. And I don't think that is cool in any way. It's kind of like the mom, Kate's mom is being portrayed as Dodie's dad. And it's like
different.
But still, it's still kind of like absurd.
Mm.
And so the mom is like, look, as long as you're not dating Rupert, I had forgotten his name, guy.
Yeah, Rupert. To make a point to her.
Yeah, to defy me.
I think it's a fair assessment, though. It's like, hey, yeah, if you're doing this to spite me, don't do that to yourself.
Right.
Kate's mom mentions that she heard through the grapevine that William is miserable and wants to leave university. And that makes Kate think for a minute about, I don't want him to leave. And so William then talks to Harry at Balmoral about the argument between him and Charles, which happened because Charles found out about him smoking weed and all that stuff and being made out as a lost cause. And he thinks that he can't like surpass William in any way or like steal any of his glory or anything because he's number two,
and number two is just entertainment. But Charles, he thinks that Charles is overreacting because he wants him to go to rehab. Which again, you know, that
I mean, if you're using it in excess,
I kind of think Charles has a point.
It depends on how much you're using of it.
This again is my personal thing. It's probably my generation. I just don't think marijuana should be legalized, and so that is a whole discussion for a separate time. But my personal feeling is that it is easily abused. And
sure.
And I would imagine that this is not the first time.
Oh, it's definitely not. But like, I think that in general, if Harry doesn't feel like he's addicted to it, and
an addict, you don't know.
Well, no, I know that. But William also seems to think it's kind of absurd that he is going to be sent to rehab. So I don't know. It depends on what the actual circumstances are, or if it's controlled usage or if it's addiction. It's a fine line, but still. Anyway, he starts talking about being second in line and not being allowed to be better than William. Harry says he's expected to fuck up and they want to make an example out of him and all that stuff.
But he always has to be the black sheep to make William look better, even.
Yeah, but also I think that just in general, just try not to fuck up. Like, I mean, if he felt like he was being put in a position where he would naturally just fuck up, sure, you could feel like you're being set up.
Yeah.
But you chose to smoke weed. So
yeah, nobody made
and you clearly didn't hide it well enough. So sorry, dude, that's the consequences. And then Kate texts William that says, don't leave university, please.
Yeah.
And obviously,
yeah.
Boy, are you lying? He's staying at university.
He is. So what were your best parts of this episode?
William, just in general, I really like this actor. I like all the actors for William, Kate, Castle, Harry, yeah. All of them. I mm-hmm. like the new generation a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he is very charismatic, but he also has that shy tendency and he can have a temper. But that's when he's really pushed to the edge. And so, and I like the way that he goes about like settling his affairs. Like when he notices how hurt Kate seemed to be after the library, even though it was kind of ridiculous, he went up and apologized and he like gave her the lowdown and was like, I'm going to leave you alone. Obviously you're with this other guy. I'm going to leave you alone.
And then, we're having this conversation in front of him.
But this is also going to be in the back of your mind. And so... Yeah, and also Kate. I think Kate's cool. She's gorgeous. She's mm-hmm. smart. She's cool. And I kind of like, regardless of what her motives were to like get him jealous or just to date this guy for fun or to spite her mother, whatever it is, she clearly doesn't want to hurt this other guy.
No.
And she is taking that seriously. And I like that. And so it's not just out of spite. In any sense, and right. She just wanted a new experience. She had a boyfriend, but now that William's available and she's starting to see like the cracks in her own relationship with her boyfriend, she's kind of like, okay, well, maybe I'm not that interested, and that's fine. It's sad for the other guy, but it's fine, he'll find other people. And then the security guard, iconic. I love him. I love that he like, I love his relationship with William and William being like, you're my wingman, dude. You're my eyes in the sky. You've got to be able to show tell me if I
am and...
if this girl likes me, please God. Yeah. Be on the lookout for her. And the sibling moments between him and Harry, like Harry giving him condoms and like backing him up in the press interview, it's very funny.
Even
Harry's like speech at the end, like,
oh, I think
Harry's really good too.
Yeah, so yeah, I had William, Harry, Kate, and security guy. So there we go. What were your worst parts?
My worst parts are the library scene after Lola shows up, because I like the library scene before Lola shows up, especially with grumpy library guy and Kate and William flirting a little bit. Not necessarily even flirting, just mm-hmm. getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. Lola in general, she's very cringy. I do not care for her. Not it's really about the character, not the person. Don't know the person. Mm-hmm. Kate's mom for being pushy. I think that her
pushy.
Manipulating. I think Kate in general, you can steer her towards St. Andrews fine, but like the gap year, the Chilean expedition, no. I think it's a bit much. Yeah. And I don't like how manipulative she can be, but I do like that she genuinely just thinks that her daughter is a great person and. Is what this guy needs,
yeah.
Or can be like what this guy needs to like stabilize his life a little bit more, because obviously his life is insane. And and I think she says a line similar to he needs a normal girl who will just be good to him. And and also weird feminist comparison between the royals being a royal and being a woman. I think that's just kind of stupid.
I feel like the writers just like injected. I don't think they did, but I just think they injected it to be like girl powery, and it's like that's dumb.
I think I think Kate had a right to be a little bit like, oh, that's how you treat people when they come up to do that. But obviously she should know that that's not how he is all the time. I don't know.
I mean, it just seems a little strange because she's certainly...
He was in the middle of an argument with his current girlfriend. I mean, like, do you want someone coming up to your... imagine you're just having an argument with your friends and then somebody, like, comes up and is just like, can I have your autograph? It's like, no, please, God, don't.
Yeah, please. So I had Kate's mom, Lola, and I had a question mark by Charles. I actually don't think Charles is bad.
No, I like Charles, actually. Him being like, you can have fun in college.
Yeah.
So I'm the cringy parent now.
So what grade did you give this episode?
B+.
Yeah, I gave it a B+.
I kind of wish it was higher. I think that in general, it's just like, I don't know. It's cute, but it's not, it doesn't have enough substance for it to be much more than a B+ for me.
Right. No, it gets us back on track and going somewhere and people we care about. So there we go. Yeah. So we've also got season 6, episode 8, Ritz.
Yeah.
yeah. And this is
It's not
the
bad. It's
Margaret
not bad, especially for a Margaret episode. It's
episode. It's
not bad
just
at
got
all.
stupid flashbacks that are
We'll talk about it.
whatever.
So we're flashing back to 1945 with young
Yay.
Elizabeth and Margaret. Sadly, not the ones from season one that I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I know it's no it, okay. There will be Claire Foy in this season. It's just not here, and
I
I will
wanted
be.
Vanessa Kirby too.
Yeah,
But
I know.
I when I saw when the episodes these 6 episodes came out, I looked ahead at like all of their like descriptions and stuff just to see what I was getting myself into. And I saw that this one was a flashback episode and I was like, oh, Vanessa Kirby and Claire Foy? Yes.
I bet they just couldn't get Vanessa Kirby because honestly, she was working on that Napoleon movie, which, by the way, is terrible. So if you have not seen it, don't.
And if you have seen it, sorry.
Yeah,
I have not seen
exactly.
it,
Yeah, and
so.
honestly, I love Vanessa Kirby, but they didn't even like, even she is not like good in this. So it's very disappointing.
Anyway, flashback to 1945. The World War II has just ended, literally that day. Margaret, Elizabeth Porte, and Peter Townsend, who they're trying to gaslight us into, like, because they cast an actor that looks about as old as the Margaret actor. Don't try to gaslight me into thinking that he was as young as she was. Go
I
ahead.
have to say this because in Napoleon, the actor that plays Peter Townsend's in it as like some guy, but he's just some guy. He's not like he doesn't really interact with Josephine, which is kind
Aw,
of
damn
disappointing.
it. That would
Yeah,
have
the
been
whole time
so
I was like,
great.
that would have been so much better, but
Because I think they have
no.
chemistry.
Oh
It's
yeah,
just really messed
absolutely.
up that she was d dating a married man.
It was
Either
because
way,
it
because she
was.
was.
Well, and like he's with them on VE Day as opposed to
Anybody
anybody else,
else?
like his
Like,
wife or
Porky makes
children.
sense. Porky makes sense
Yeah.
because he's Elizabeth's friend and adorer. And it makes sense for him to want to be with her on that day.
Portable.
Margaret, I thought Margaret met him like when she was like in her 20s on like a boat
Yeah, whatever.
or on
We're
an expedition somewhere in
this is
Africa.
a fantasy of the showrunners, just to be clear. And again,
They're trying to gaslight us into thinking that he was as young as Margaret.
no.
No. I don't know exactly the age gap, but he certainly was older than Margaret. Anyway, there
I hate
Margaret
this.
wants to go to the Ritz, and Elizabeth is a little bit hesitant, but Margaret's like, live a little, the war is over, we need to celebrate. And Elizabeth's like, okay. In present day, Margaret and Elizabeth are playing gin, and Margaret talks about that crazy night and Elizabeth feeling free and all that stuff. I don't know why this arbitrary night. Not to say that the end of the war was arbitrary, but this one night at the Ritz comes up so often in her memory as over like it's, she's almost 70 at this point, and she's thinking about this one night that Elizabeth did something crazy. It wasn't even that crazy.
Oh,
Maybe that's
here
just our like minds right now, but still.
it is. Here it is. Peter was 16 years older than Margaret. It's like,
Gaslighting,
you
yes. And
know.
Margaret, I looked this up, is if Margaret is 2 years younger than Elizabeth, which I think she is, well, you look that up. But Elizabeth was 19 when World War II ended, either 19 or 18. So the fact that they got the actresses they did that look younger makes sense. Is it disappointing? Yeah. But it's they make sense and they are also very good. So it's not like that an issue of like
Well, they're
talent.
4 years apart. So Margaret's
Four
4 years younger.
She's
No.
15 at most.
No. This is like
Maybe 14.
horse
This
shit.
is creepy.
Yeah, no.
Maybe they shouldn't have done this. What the fuck is wrong with them? And not to say that a 15-year-old can't go out and like be like rebellious or whatever, but with a guy 16 years her senior. Wait, let me do the math real quick. So 14 plus 16 is 30. I could do that in my head, but I wanted to make a point. He was supposed to be 30 years old, and he does not look it in this flashback. And they are trying to gaslight us into thinking that he was. That is messed up. 16 years her senior?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's messed up in any respect. I'm sorry. It's just
right. So yeah, Elizabeth was 19 years old on VE Day, which yeah, 15.
Yeah, 15.
No,
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 no.
15-year-old and 30-year-old.
A 19-year-old doing this. A 19-year-old doing this made sense. Oh, and yeah. When I thought they were only 2 years apart, a 17-year-old doing this made sense. But no, I mean,
no, 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 no.
And
no.
Not to say that this didn't happen, but it most likely didn't happen this way.
No, there's a lot of other fantasy stuff that is very stupid. Pop culture-y now. Let's put it that way.
Anyway. So Margaret talks about the crazy night when she was 15 years old and went to the fucking Ritz with Peter Townsend, the 30-year-old, and Porgy and Elizabeth, the 19-year-old.
Can you imagine? Oh my
no.
God.
I don't want to imagine.
I gotta find out how old Porgy was. Keep going.
Please do. I'm so curious.
Keep going.
Elizabeth says the events of that evening are a secret for whatever reason. We'll talk about it later. Margaret is going to her island paradise on the weekend, Mystique. And
Moustique.
Moustique?
Yes.
Oops.
You.
Sorry. I just say Mystique. She, I don't know why I said it like that. She is partying with friends, but suddenly has a minor, I say minor, it's a stroke. It's hard to say, like, the effects were more minor than an otherwise worse stroke, I suppose. Anyway, she has a stroke. Elizabeth gets a call from Margaret, who tells her about the stroke and is at a hospital in Barbados. Margaret is brought back to the UK. She needs to take some medications. What?
Porgy was 3 years older than Elizabeth.
Okay, now, that's
according to this, they met when she was 17 and he was 20.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? He was 22.
Yeah.
8 years older than him is Peter Townsend.
There's a lot of fucking weird here. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Weird. Anyway, we're getting to the bottom of this. She needs to take some medications like aspirin to thin her blood, I suppose.
Yes.
And but also to make sure that she's more aware of her lifestyle, like no more smoking or drinking and more rehabilitation and physical therapy and speech therapy. They play the Jessica Rabbit song. I associate this with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That is my problem. So just keep in mind, it's the song that she sings in that. Yeah. Why don't you do right?
Like some other men do.
Yeah, she sings it much better than that in the movie. So she's Margaret is struggling, and she still like scrounges around for cigarettes, and she finds one in the pocket of a random
yeah,
coat.
Like she's not smoking
it like it's like. A water after a drought. It's
yeah,
wild.
She's like, oh my god!
And the way
this
they
is why you don't get
the
addicted.
They
frame this shot is so annoying. It's like she's standing in silhouette with her in a profile silhouette, like bending backwards and smoking, like she's I don't know some
cool.
sort of like Art Deco painting. And it's like this is really
ridiculous.
Too much.
She's canceling some official engagements, but doesn't want to be bored, and she's talking to Elizabeth about that.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to her island, which is a horrible idea. Like what the fuck? I don't know how much time has passed, but regardless. Nothing good will come of this. She falls back into old patterns like smoking and drinking and partying with her friends. She has another stroke in the bath and accidentally turns on the hot water and burns her feet and passes out.
Yeah, which is incredibly sad.
Then Margaret is taken back to the UK and brought to see Elizabeth. The Queen Mother at lunch starts bragging about, well, I don't need handrails in my apartment.
Because part of what's happened is she burned her feet so badly that she cannot like walk sometimes, and they've had to do a bunch of rehab to even get her to be able to walk. She's not going to be allowed to wear heels, you know, all these kinds of things. She has a lot of swelling, and
it's bad.
It's really bad.
And she also says, I'd rather die than do exercises.
It's hilarious.
Then but she still wants to celebrate her 70th birthday at the Ritz and teases Elizabeth about it. Like, remember that night at the Ritz? It's
yeah.
like, Jesus Christ.
You know
what?
They've been to the
night at the Ritz and
they've
you won't
been
shut
to
up
the
about
Ritz
it.
Like 800,000 times.
Do I remember this. What I was doing 15 at 15? No, like, well, I do, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
you would
I
remember
I
like VE Day. You
would. I would remember VE Day, but I wouldn't remember this arbitrary thing about Elizabeth on VE Day.
You will, because we've done an episode about it.
Now I will. But if I were in their shoes, if I was 15 years old and my 19-year-old sister and this 30-year-old man,
Peter,
and this 22-year-old, which is a little bit more normal, is just doing this, it's ridiculous.
Okay,
like her and Porchy, that's a fine.
So anyway,
so she still wants to celebrate her 70th birthday. And then 1945 flashback, they get to the Ritz and go to the upstairs swanky section.
Yeah. And the Ritz really does, it's still, the dining room still looks like that.
It's gorgeous.
It is beautiful. It's very white and crystal. And
there's a moment at the door where they let the girls in, but stop Peter Townsend, like they're about to card him or something. Yeah, and I'm just beautiful. Like, you deserve it, you pedophile.
Like, are you okay? Like, they don't want to let just random soldiers in because they want to, you know, keep a certain clientele,
I guess. Swankiness.
Right. And so
it's like we're with them, we're like security.
Yeah, so they hang out, they dance a little bit. Elizabeth goes to put her jacket away alone and runs into an African-American officer going to
the U.S.
from the U.S. I said American.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You did. I said African American.
That was dumb.
Yeah. Officer going to the downstairs club section. Yeah. And he suggests that she go down with him because it's more fun.
Yeah.
He's not trying to like pressure her into anything. He's just like, hey, you want to have fun? Come downstairs with us.
Yeah.
And
she's like,
Oh, I couldn't. My friends are waiting for me. She's 19 years old. This is fine. Mm-hmm. A British officer warns her that. Who's coming out of the downstairs section warns her that there are Americans down there and they're doing scandalous dances.
The jitterbug started in an American ghetto.
In the Harlem, whatever.
The waltz was at one point a scandalous dance.
What's and
there's
not?
Discussion about like that in Bridgerton is hilarious.
Ridiculous.
People are bizarre.
In the present, Philip has to miss Margaret's party. And he's talking to Elizabeth about it, who's getting ready for it. Elizabeth is bringing Anne and Porchy with her to the party and makes a snide remark to Philip about Porchy being reliable. Like, sorry, he can't make her birthday party.
Yeah.
This is different. And then he's like, are you good? And then she's just like, I'm just worried about Margaret. I'm like, that doesn't constitute you being snide about Porchy.
Yeah, it's like, being snide about Philip. She's being nice
snide about Philip.
Not by bringing up Porchy. Kind of I mean, it's like, and you know, I don't know what Philip's conflict is. We aren't even told like what he's actually doing. He can't go.
It's probably just documented that he wasn't there, and so it's just kind of like, extrapolate. He's out.
The Porchy is there.
He's carriage riding.
Oh my god!
Anyway, Margaret gets to her party at the Ritz after a lot of difficulty putting her shoes on because of the swelling in her
ankles.
It's really ugly.
And they do a good job of showing how uncomfortable.
And the actress is fantastic.
Right. Like, she doesn't want help getting out of the car in front of the paparazzi. Yeah. She wants to be seen as still independent and functional.
Yeah.
But she's not.
She starts making a speech about Elizabeth that night at the Ritz. Like, why are you bringing this up now?
Okay. So what this feels like to me is dementia. And if she's had strokes, she's probably had some mental decline that goes with
obviously
that.
There's a brain portion,
right? But so place. You know, for anyone who has been around someone who has dementia, and I have, they get fixated on things. Mm. And this fixation she has on this one night is not really that surprising to me for someone who has been through kind of brain trauma, which she has with the strokes.
Sure.
And some of it comes with age, obviously. But
I also think they're just too horny in for the episode.
Yes.
Elizabeth then gives a very sweet speech about her and Margaret as kids. It's so sweet.
And how dependent she is on her, especially emotionally.
How she couldn't do anything, all of this without her. And how reliable she is. She's always going to be there for her and too many returns for her. It's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
They then talk on the phone afterwards about the speech. Margaret is like,
smoking.
She's smoking. It was Cousin Halifax. Like,
yeah,
their imaginary cousin.
Their imaginary cousin did all the bad things. Yeah, Margaret would blame the imaginary cousin for like all the bad things she did as a kid.
Yeah.
So this was the joke when they were on the phone.
Then after they get off the phone, Margaret has a very severe stroke and
can't get to her medication.
Yeah, so she collapses. Elizabeth visits her in hospital and tries to encourage her to make a comeback. Margaret says she's made her peace with what is about to happen. Elizabeth brought her some jam tarts and a walking stick. And she's like, no, we're going to get you up and out of here. You are going to be okay. And Margaret tries to navigate life after the stroke and finds it very difficult. Even like she can barely use her hands. She's very, very weak. Mm-hmm. And random 9/11 mention on the radio. It was rather jarring.
Right. Now, it's to give us some perspective as far as when this is happening.
So 2001.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, because we had heard the William episode that was prior to this started in 1999.
Yeah.
It crosses over into 2000.
Right.
So, well, it probably started in 96 and then flashes forward to 99 and then
to 2000.
Right.
Anyway,
so now we're in 2001.
Margaret hears a very sad story about a 9/11, a poor victim of 9/11, like calling her husband who slept through the call, and her just saying, I love you. It's so, anytime you hear about 9/11 is so depressing.
It is heartbreaking. It really is. It's
horrible. And so, of course, that makes it sad. And then also, to add to that, she's just like talking to, I think, her maid or something, or her friend, mm-hmm. and her, who's reading her this story. And then she's like, oh yeah, poor Porchy. And she's like, what about Porchy? Porchy had a heart attack when he heard the news or something.
And apparently
died. And died. So random, but sad and all that stuff. And then Margaret talks to Elizabeth about everyone abandoning her, first Porchy, and then she knows she's next. And eventually her mother's going to be after
and
that.
And Elizabeth's like, no.
Elizabeth's like, no. La, 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 la. No,
not having this conversation.
That.
No.
And then she starts making arrangements for her funeral. She wants the finale to Swan Lake on the organ. Iconic.
Oh, yeah. And of course it's iconic for her also.
Yeah. Roses and tulips. No red lipstick. And all that kind of stuff. And Elizabeth reads to her some, like, funny stories. And then she teases her about the Ritz again. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And in 1945, Elizabeth goes downstairs and joins in the scandalous jitterbug dancing.
Oh my god!
With an African American. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, and then Margaret, Porchy comes up to Margaret and Peter, who's 30, and
he does not look 30.
Dancing with this 50. Oh my god, she was half his age.
It was creepy on so many levels. I mean, it's child molestation.
I hate that. I hate that.
I mean, age of
consent. Stay away from the child.
Yeah. Exactly. Age of consent is 16. She's not there yet.
It doesn't get much better until 18, so don't. And so Porchy comes up and is just like, hey, I need to find Elizabeth. She's been gone for a while and she was just putting away her coat. And Peter's like, I'll go with you, Porchy. And then Mar's like, fine, I'll go. And so they go downstairs and they see Elizabeth dancing with the officer. And like getting thrown around and all that stuff and dancing with different partners and
having a wild time.
Yeah, she's having so much fun. Mm-hmm. And Porchy and Peter are about to like go save her or whatever. This 30-year-old is going to save this 19-year-old from, I don't know, embarrassing herself. 11-year age gap, weird too. Mm-hmm. And so he is like, but Margaret stops them and is like, no, look at her. She's so happy. We need to let her let off some steam. Just let her be. This is what we came here to do.
But the 15-year-old's telling everybody what to do?
She's Margaret. Okay. And so she tells this 30-year-old that, like, what to do. And so then she goes to join in, and then the boys are dragged into it by these girls and all that stuff. And so they have a fun time. Margaret dances with Elizabeth. It's really cute. And then they walk back to the palace along the completely empty streets, without the 30-year-old or Porchy. I don't know where they went in this time. Either way, but it's completely empty. They're going up to the palace. And then, as they talk, it eventually, once they reach the gates and they're about to go through the gates, young Elizabeth is like talking to Margaret. It's like, hey, you're coming inside. It switches to older Margaret, the older actress for Margaret. And she says, no, I'll stay out here for a while, but I will always be by your side.
And so then older Margaret walks towards the sunrise as they play the song Margaret sang in season one with King George.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Vanessa Kirby singing, maybe.
It's hard to
I
tell.
can't tell. But either way, that's how it ends.
Yep. And it's not actually shorter. It feels much longer, but it doesn't have a whole lot of content.
Yep.
What were your best parts of this?
The acting is great.
Yeah.
The idea of the flashbacks. I liked the general idea that they were going to do flashbacks to a younger Elizabeth and Margaret having a fun time or something. I really do wish it was the season one people, and that's not their fault, I don't think. And I think the people they got for it are great. They're really fun. However, we'll talk about it later. I'll talk about that in my worst parts. Margaret and Elizabeth, I liked seeing their relationship being already patched up and them being mature and realizing how much they rely on each other in this moment of sadness and grief. And it's the melancholy that comes later in life where it's just like, well, when you realize how much people mean to you. And
Yeah.
yeah, just things happen. Elizabeth's speech at her birthday is very, very sweet. And also I like that it's very respectful of Margaret's character.
Yeah.
It doesn't like go away from the fact that she had awful habits that definitely contributed.
Oh, sure. But you know
And
what?
she's not perfect, but she did have a great impact on Elizabeth and obviously. And that they are still treating it with as much respect and nuance as possible.
Yeah, no. My best part is Elizabeth's devotion. I agree that the performances are great, and that's part of why this works. I do think the flashback is silly, and we'll talk about that. But aside, and I don't like the performances. I'm not like swept away by this episode. I feel like it's respectful, but I don't. There's not much to it for me.
Sure.
All right, what were your worst parts?
Making the flashbacks seem like they're actually important. They're not.
Yeah.
And again, they could have avoided that with the season one cast being there. Then I would care.
Isn't
Literally, like that would
that
be.
weird? That seems a little weird.
I know, but come on, man, it's the
Yeah,
final season.
true.
Like you're
Spend the money.
I was expecting the flashbacks, but no. Anyway,
Yeah.
weird energy between Elizabeth and Philip. I don't like that snide comment. I don't like that it doesn't really lead to a bigger argument about what that means for them.
They've been uneven in the treatment of Elizabeth and Philip for like
It's turned
three or
into,
four seasons.
yeah,
Yeah.
see, they went from season one where it's very, very cute, it's newish love, but kind of like also a bit more matured. They have some strain in their relationship, but who doesn't?
Right.
And but they are able to work through it for the betterment of the nation and for themselves and their children and all that stuff. Then in season two, obviously there's more of a strain because of the cheating scandal and all that stuff. It makes it more nuanced, makes it a little bit more,
But there's still devotion. I
but
mean,
there's
there's
still
still that
devotion.
Philip is all in
Yeah,
thing.
both of them are all in, and
Right.
she just wants to make sure he's also all in, and he does prove that he is. And so that makes things all better and patches that up. And then season three and four, they're just like, well, we'll show them kissing once or twice, and then things will be
And barely
fine.
have any kind of conversation. It's like it's
We
bizarre.
barely talk.
Right. And
They
which
have like a.
again, Tobias Menzies, we love you,
I
but
love Tobias
whatever. But
Menzies
then
and Olivia Colman. She's fantastic. Actress wise, she's
she is a
fantastic.
fantastic actress. I agree.
And then like season five and six is just like they're on the rocks again, but we're not going to resolve
Yeah,
it. It's like
yeah, there's the
why?
weird rush of the anyway, I don't really want to talk about all
All
that right
right,
now.
and then
Anyway.
also Margaret's death is sad, whatever. And sorry, not to
Yeah.
brush that aside. She's a major character and she died.
Yes.
Margaret's death and age gaps. Now
I
that I know about the age gaps,
did
I'm
not put
very.
age guess, but you're correct.
He's
Yeah.
30.
Oh my God. So yeah, I just put that all down to extrapolation. I just felt like that whole thing is a complete fantasy on the part of the showrunners. And Elizabeth's out with this American who is an African American. It's like, it's like, oh, come on, really? I mean, are we pandering for a reason? Because that's how it felt to me. I did not like Margaret refusing to do better. It's not surprising. It's not out of character. I just didn't like it because I don't like that even in real life. It's just kind of sad to me. That was pretty much it. I feel like Margaret dying, of course, is sad, but I wouldn't put it as the worst part. I think it's a life thing. So what grade did you give this episode?
I was teetering between a C+ and a B-. I think it's a C+ for me.
Yeah, I gave it a C, and mostly because I just felt like it was bloated again, and the way they bloated it was with this stupid flashback that I felt was not amazing. But yeah, I felt like I'm glad they honored her. Mm. I don't know what I would have done differently. I just know that I would have liked to have seen something that I could buy into.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of my problem. But in any case, I am glad they honored her, and that's a good thing. So we have more episodes, but only two more. Well, I mean, one episode for us, two more of The Crown, and that's the end of the series. So if y'all are excited for us to be getting done with The Crown, we are about to do it.
Well, I mean, we haven't spent that much time on it, like, recently.
No, we haven't.
But if you've listened to all of our Crown episodes, it has been a while.
It has been a while. And quite honestly, this is interesting.
It's a great series at first. There are great moments sprinkled here and there in each season. Every season has a highlight of some kind. Season 5, not excluded, was not good, but not great.
Season 5 is my worst for this, but we'll talk about that
in the next episode. I think that season 6 has more highlights than season 5 for
Absolutely, yes.
There are merits to every season. There's at least one good episode each season, so great.
All right, well, we are looking forward to this last episode about The Crown. We hope that you join us, and
cheers.